Genesis chapter 12, and beginning in verse number 1, look what the scriptures say. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." That was a big deal. Family stayed in the same area. They inherited land together. They farmed together. They did all of these things together. And God comes and he says, "Abram, I want you to go." Now, look what it also goes on. It says, "To a land that I will show you." I want you to go to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And we know that that is the nation of Israel. He says, "We'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, one of the things that we need to interject here is that God was establishing these people to be a blessing to the world around them, to be an example of those that follow the one and the true God. Now, we know that they did not do that. We know that they erred over and over and over. But that is what God was doing. He was establishing a people that would follow him. Now, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "So Abraham, he departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Now, I want us to think about that. I don't know if the Lord were to come to you and say, "Hey, I want you to load up and pack up, and we'll talk about where we're going to go later." How many of us would go over here to the rental place and rent a U-Haul truck, get all of our friends to come over, help us pack up all of our stuff, and everybody be asking you, "Well, where are you going?" "Ah, we don't know yet." "Ah, we'll figure it out tomorrow. We're waiting for a phone call. We're supposed to get a job offer sometime, I don't know." They think you're foolish to do that. But the Bible says here, Abraham, he departed. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, they spend 5 years in Haran. Now, I want you to think about something here. When they were spending those 5 years there, there's a good chance that that began to feel a little bit like home. They began to be a little bit settled, if you would, and feel a little bit at home in this particular place. But it was not where God wanted them to be. Now, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We can get settled and not be exactly where the Lord wants us to be. I want you to catch a lesson, if you want. I think it's on the back of your bulletin there. But I want you to catch this, is God won't let us stay where we do not belong. God will not let us stay where we do not belong, and that's what he's doing with Abram. Abram did not belong in this part of the world, this city, this area. He didn't belong in Haran. God was going to take him and show him where he was to be. Now we go down to verse number 5, and the Bible says, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. And so they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the tamarisk tree of Morah and the Canaanites were there in the land. Now, I want to show you something. I've got a picture of Canaan here. This is a picture of Beersheba. This is where we were on our trip to Israel back in the spring. This is some of the ruins of Beersheba, where Abraham might have been. Now, I have another picture of the greenery. So this we were there in the rainy season. And so as you looked out, you could see the green. Normally, it's not like that. If you look way out there, there's shepherds out there, and they're walking around with their Apple iPhones and playing Angry Birds and stuff like that. And then I got that other picture of some Canaanites were driving out of the land, all right? Recognize them? So there's some Canaanites. They were still in the land, and that's how it was for Abraham. Well, let's go back to verse number 7. Then the Lord, see, if you go with me to Israel, you might show up in the sermons unexpectedly, all right? Now, verse number 7, it says, then the Lord, he appeared to Abram, and he said to your descendants, I will give this land, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he builds an altar here. Now, in verse number 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Verse number 9, so Abram, he journeyed going on still toward the south. And it was faith, if you would, that saved Abraham, and it was not his works. I want to go over to the New Testament. You see, a lot of people say, well, you know, it was what he did. It wasn't what he did. It was that he trusted God. He believed what God would do, what God said. That's what saved Abraham, his faith. It was his faith in trusting God that God would do what he purposed. We can go over to the New Testament if you want to. You can stay there in Genesis, but in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. But he says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was his believing God. It was his faith. It was his trusting God. It wasn't works that he did. Now, verse number 4, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If you work for something, you earn it, that's not grace. God hasn't. If you can earn your salvation, you can earn your way to heaven by doing good works and good things, then God owes you eternal life. And the truth of the matter is, none of us can work or earn our way to salvation. Salvation is purely of grace. And the way we receive that grace is by believing, by trusting God, by putting our faith and our trust in him, asking him and him alone for our salvation. Now, Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. It was by faith. And it says, and he went out not knowing. How many of us would actually step out and obey God not knowing what he was going to do? It says he went out, he stepped out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham. By faith. Well, what's faith? What is faith? Is it kind of, you know, doing crazy things and jumping off a hill and hoping that you won't get hurt? No, that's not faith. Faith is this, if you want to jot it down, it's a great definition, I believe. Faith is obeying God even when it makes no sense. It's obeying God when it makes no earthly sense. God says to do this. He says, you know, Abraham says, God wants me to go. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what he had, but I'm going to go. Now, church, what I'm getting at is as we approach the end of 2019 and we go to 2020, we don't know what 2020 holds. We don't know what it holds for us as an individual or as a church or as a congregation. We don't know all that it holds. But by faith, we enter into that new year. By faith, we enter into 2020, and that is that by faith, that is by obeying God, even when it doesn't make earthly sense for us to, we're going to obey Him. That's what Abraham did. Abraham obeyed God even when it made no earthly sense to do so. It made no sense for him to leave the Ur of Chaldees where he was. It made no sense for him to pack up and leave all of the family and to go. Not to him, but to the Lord it did. Because God had a plan for him. God had a plan for him to go. And so I want you to catch this. Here, you know, we hear a lot about, well, what's God's will? What's the Lord's will for my life? What does God want me to do? And we ask so many of those questions. Let me just try to help you with that a little bit. Daily obedience puts us in the center of His will. You see, you don't know about tomorrow, but you do know about today. If you know what God wants you to do today, then obey that. Obey Him daily, and that'll put you in the center of His will. There's some things that you just know are the Lord's will. You know it's His will to feed on His Word, to study Scripture. You know that is part of God's plan for you. You know to pray for your family, to pray for yourself, pray for people around you. You know that is the Lord's will. To share your faith with other people and to express and to show to them but how much God loves them and how that He gave His Son on the cross for their salvation. Daily obeying the Lord. There's just some things that daily obedience we know. We know we're supposed to do this. And when we obey Him each day, each step, every day, then that puts us in His will. You see, if Abraham had not gone, he would have been out of the Lord's will. He went. Did he know where he was going? No. Did he know why? No. But by faith, obeying God a day at a time, he went. And God revealed Himself to him. And so, that's what keeps us in the center of the Lord's will. And in the little things, there's little things in our lives. They're important. You're being honest. You're being faithful. You're being truthful. You're having integrity. How you interact with other people around you. How you treat people that may not even be nice to you. How you handle all of these things, that's daily obedience. That's daily obedience to the Lord. How we handle those things, those big things, the little things. Oh, oftentimes the big things we can handle, it's not much of a decision, but sometimes the little things, they kind of sneak in and we kind of cheat on those or whatever. No. Daily obedience, obeying the Lord. Daily obedience, it helps us to be ready for God's next assignment for us. For the next assignment, well, what does God have for you in 2020? I don't know. What does He hold in store for me? I don't know. Some of the things, as I look back at 2019, I never thought about that. I never knew about those things. those circumstances or what might happen. 2020, there may be some things in your life or my life that we have no idea. But God does. And the only way that we're going to be able to face those and to move forward and to go through 2020 is to daily be obedient in the small things, and that enables us to be obedient in the big things. And when we're obedient, that guess what? That puts us right in the center of God's will, and it enables us and it empowers us to do the next assignment that He has. You see, I believe that the Lord has an assignment for each and every one of us. I believe He has an assignment for our congregation. I believe He has an assignment for our families, for us as individuals. There are things that the Lord wants to do. There are things that He's moving towards in 2020. And it's our responsibility to day by day do the little things and to be ready for that next assignment, whatever it is that the Lord has for us. And He will prepare us. When we ask when and where and why and who and how come and all of these things, guess what happens? When you start wondering, okay, I don't know what God has for me. I'm not sure about this or this or this. And maybe something happens and it's like, well, why? And we begin to ask all these questions and how come? What does that have tend to do? It has the tendency to make us freeze. It has the tendency to stop us. It has the tendency to worry. We slip into a pattern of worry. Worrying about all of these things. Worry about when, where, why, how. But when by faith, you say, Lord, I'm not sure what You're doing, but by faith, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to take it a day at a time. By faith, I'm going to take it a day at a time and follow You. Worry and fretting and asking all kinds of questions, it tends to cause us to freeze up. And when we freeze, we are not actually ready to do. We're not actually ready to do. You know, I wonder if Abraham would have said, well, you know, Lord, packing up the whole family and everything, you know, that seems a little bit, you know, kind of over the top. I don't know that I could really do that. Well, just, you know, Lord, just show us where You want me to go. Or why? What are we going to do? What's this all about? And if Abraham began to ask lots and lots of questions, guess what? He wouldn't have been in the center of God's will, ready to go and to do God's assignment. Now I'm not saying that we're not going to have questions. There's natural things that we have questions. But we can't let those questions hinder us from obedience, from going and doing. Remember the story, we won't get into it today, but I'll share. You know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Now remember, God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. He's going to make him a great nation. Abraham and Sarah, they wait 10 years. They never have any children. And so after 10 years, Abraham and Sarah come up with their own plan that he would have a son through Hagar. Remember, we just talked about it in genealogies. And so Abraham decides that he's going to, you know, he and Sarah, they're going to have this son through Hagar, that's God's will. Now, don't think that they rushed out the next day after God promised the son and said, okay, this way. No, it was 10 years. It was 10 years of waiting. And then God, after that happens, God says, well, Abraham, that's not the plan that I had for you. You and Sarah are going to have a son. And remember the whole story about laughter. But yet, wasn't the next year, God waited 15 more years for Isaac to be born. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90. And it is obviously, without a doubt, a miracle from God that this would happen. And that's why God waited. God waited to show His hand. He waited to show that it was Him and Him alone that would do this. Right. Now look at this. Then God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, your only son Isaac, and I want you to go up on top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. The Bible says the next day, Abraham began to gather up the wood and the things, and they began to go on a journey. And it was, a few days' journey. Now, I don't know if how far away they were from it. It may not have been that far. But maybe Abraham was taking him and maybe, kind of wandering a little bit, dragging his feet, taking his time. I don't know. I don't think so. Because it was the next day that he began to go. And Abraham gets his son, his only son, Isaac, there. And his son, I don't know, if you have grandkids and kids, this would be a pretty tough one for your child to say, hey, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And you know what God's asking of you? That would be hard. The Bible says that Abraham, he tied up Isaac. He laid him on the altar. And to this, this seems extreme far out for us. But Abraham, he raised the knife and he was ready to be obedient to God and to sacrifice his son Isaac that had been promised to him. And when he had his hand in the air with that sword, God said, Abraham, no. And God provided a ram in the bushes. That is a beautiful picture of what God has done for us in Christ. It says in the scripture there, you can go back, but the Lord will provide Himself a lamb. That's exactly what He did. He provided the lamb through Christ. He was sacrificed. He sacrificed His own son. God did not ask Abraham to do anything that he was not ready to do and did do. Now, the fact that God asked Abraham to do that, and the fact that he was willing to do that, that's faith. It is obeying God when it doesn't make sense. God promised me a great nation through this son Isaac. Now He's saying to sacrifice him. That doesn't make any sense. But it was obedience. He did what God asked him to do, even when it didn't make sense. And guess what? God showed up, didn't He? God showed up. Abraham either believed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead, or he was going to do something, because God had promised him that his child, Isaac, through his son, he would have a great nation. You see, it's in our obedience. It's in our faithful obedience that God shows up. When we're daily obedient, day by day by day, even when it doesn't make sense sometimes, what God asks, what God's doing, if we obey Him step by step, day by day, He shows up. He keeps His promises, doesn't He? I'm going to ask the musicians to come if they would. I want you to think about that. I don't know if there might be something in your life. I don't know what 2020 looks like. Really, only God knows what a 2020 will be like. He's the only one that knows. We don't have all the details, do we? You and I, we don't even have all the details of what the rest of the day will be. We have to live only one step at a time. Would you stand with me this morning? Remember that song they used to sing? I don't know if you did it here or not, but "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness." He does. The Lord knows the way through 2020. He knows the way through 2019. He knows all that He can do. And all we can do is to follow. What is God calling you to do? What is it that He's putting on your heart? He's called you to just be obedient in faith. Some things don't make sense. But would you be honest and say, one day at a time, one day at a time, I'm going to be obedient? Would you be willing today to set your mind to obey? Set your mind to obey ahead of time. If God calls me to do this, then I'll go. If God wants me to do this, then I'll do that. You see, that's faith. That's what Abraham had. He obeyed God even when it didn't make sense. You know what I think so many people struggle with salvation? It doesn't make sense that God would give me a free gift of eternal life. It doesn't make sense that He would pay my sin debt. And so we think somehow we have to earn it. Somehow we have to do something for it. We say, "Oh, Pastor, that's too easy." But you see, that's faith. It's receiving that gift that, you know what? God loved me so much that He would give His Son on the cross that I might have salvation. That doesn't make sense, but by faith, I accept the Lord Jesus. By faith, I ask Him to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here and you have and you've kind of strayed, you've gotten off the path. And you're not obeying Him day by day. My friend, I encourage you as a believer, obey Him daily, and then you'll be able and be ready. You'll be in the center of His will. Daily obedience is His will. Father, as we come before You, I thank You, Lord, for the day that You have given to us. Thank You for Your word. Lord, as we finish out 2019 and get ready to go into the new year, Lord, I pray that whatever it is that You would have for us to do, that, Lord, You would help us to know exactly what it is. Lord, help us to be willing, ready to be obedient daily in every task that You give to us. Help us just to step up and say, "Okay, Lord, I'll do this." Lord, I pray that You'd have Your will and Your way in this invitation now. Lord, I pray that if there'd be one here this morning that needs You as Lord and Savior, the Lord, that they would open their hearts and receive You today. And we pray it in Christ's name.